Hello, everybody. What a glorious day. It is episode 100 here at the Still City Insider podcast. Very excited to be celebrating that with all of you today and the insider himself, Mr. Jim Wexel. But Jim, how perfect is it that the 100th episode coincides with the Steelers' massive signing of punter Cameron Johnson?
It's just fitting for our 100th episode to be of such great large scale. Yeah.
And, but all jokes aside, this is going to be a fun episode, not only because it's episode 100, we're very excited about that, but because the Steelers did make a splash in free agency. You've all heard the news by now. They have signed veteran Super Bowl winning quarterback Russell Wilson. And today's episode is going to be about all the implications of that, what it means for Kenny Pickett. We're going to talk a little bit about Mason Rudolph. And Jim, I was very critical of this being brought up on a couple episodes ago, and we'll get to my take on that. But where do we start here with this?
No, I see. That's the thing on my mind is, why did you hate him so much? I mean, I'm a little surprised, but I remember that episode. I said, you know, kind of makes sense. I wouldn't, you know, be against it. It's cheap. And I didn't believe they would get him that cheap, but anyway, they just agreed to terms. They didn't sign yet. So be careful when you talk about free agency right now.
Right.
Go ahead. Tell me why you hated him so much. And you even posted on our message board, you ripped them again. I mean, is it personal?
So here we go. I'm a fan, right? I'm a fan who pretends to be part of the media here, right? But I'll put my objective hat on here for a minute. But the last two seasons that he was with the Broncos, the one thing that repeatedly stuck out to me, and I was actually discussing this with one of my friends who's a big Steelers fan as well, is just the fake cheeseball nature of his leadership. And there were a couple outtakes from the Broncos sidelines last year where he was trying to get his team fired up. And one of the players was like, sit your ass down or something like that. So it wasn't just that, but it was just a lot of things related to his leadership, him not having the buy-in support of his teammates that just really made me question him as a leader. Now, completely different environment in Denver versus Pittsburgh, but I have to look at this objectively. If we look at his performance on the field, and I'm not just looking at that intangible factor, there are some promising things here. So I have to be open-minded, Jim.
Well, I tell you, I'm going to have to dig up my story I wrote out of the 2013 Combine when I interviewed him. It was one-on-one. Those were the great days of the Combine. Couldn't get a one-on-one with anybody this year. There was a one-on-one. I thought he was cool. I liked him. And I thought he was authentic. No, I have no idea how he's developed in that regard. I've heard that teammates don't like how happy he can be after a loss. I don't know. You know.
Yeah.
So there's that. And so there are some things, but man, I don't know. You know, I don't see that as being a problem. I see him taking sacks as a problem, so they're going to have to shore up that line for sure. Because he likes to play action and sit back there and look and throw the deep ball, which, I mean, George Pickens is all excited, I'm sure, but is the center, is the right tackle, are they ready? So those are my only concerns. I really don't see him being a problem with chemistry, and it obviously is not a problem with the salary cap. Obviously, he last year was better than Pickett. What I see, I'll say this: the Steeler coaching staff wants Pickett to beat him out because that would mean Pickett took a giant step forward in his third season after a sophomore slump that was bad for him all the way around. So he could take that big jump, and if they're even in preseason, Pickett's going to get that job. Now, will he be even Russell Wilson? How much change will they have to make? How much digesting will Russell need of the Steelers' new playbook. So probably just as much as Pickett. So it's new because of Arthur Smith. So I see little downside other than, you know, I was wrong. I didn't think it would happen. So that's the downside is my ego. But are you going to have to root against them all year to justify your anger?
No. Again, I could cut myself out. I'm going to step outside of myself and evaluate my critique of the guy. I'm going to give him a chance, obviously. And maybe I'm in the wrong for interpreting his behavior as such, because, hey, maybe he's just one of those dudes who he just looks at the positive side of life. I don't know. I can't root against my team. Here's the bigger question. You started talking a little bit about Kenny Pickett, and it's going to be an open competition. We know that, but what impact does this have on his psyche? Is there some sense of, well, you drafted me. It's almost like your girlfriend is
too bad
running around with somebody else.
You lost your girlfriend. I lose mine all the time. Too bad. You know what people say about your problems? Half of them are glad you have them.
Yeah.
And the other half don't care. He's a big boy. His psyche will. I mean, if it hurts his psyche, then he's not the guy you want anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I think only someone with his immense talent as Terry Bradshaw could get away with being depressed and having a hurt psyche and needing shoulders to cry on before he got his job back. So, I mean, I don't think that's an issue. I mean, he's a grown ass man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would have to think, though, I mean, just looking at this, that Wilson will be the starter. I mean, I'll call that today. They might call it an open competition, but I'll go back to whenever Mason Rudolph was called, said it was an open competition. I think Russell Wilson will be your starter week one. That's just my take.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but let's talk about what he potentially can bring to this team. Just looking at his stats over the last two seasons. Last year, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. The year before that, 16 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Nice completion percentage, over 66% this past year. Accurate guy, but like you said, takes a lot of sacks. Is Arthur Smith trying to recreate what he did in Tennessee the few years he was there?
Whoa. Do I look like I've been watching practice? Let's wait until at least the minicamp starts so we can start lying to people. I mean, you know, I don't know. We'll all see at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Sorry to rebuff your question. You've probably thought about that one for a long time. He's a play action guy. He was a play action guy with Tennessee. Things worked at Tennessee. Things didn't work in Atlanta. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he went back to his under center Tennessee play action offense.
Mm-hmm. And just looking at, some of the writers out there covering the Steelers talked about how when Wilson was successful, he had a strong running game going back to Seattle with Marshawn Lynch, and having that same type of setup here in Pittsburgh could maybe lend well to what his strengths are, to where he doesn't have to put the team on his shoulders. And Jim, I just noticed you have a Seattle colored hat on. Is that intentional?
No, that's my daughter's company, Caterpillar.
Okay.
No, where was I? I was going to rebuff your item.
Oh, I was talking about the Marshawn Lynch similarities.
You know, any quarterback needs a running game. You're making me out to be the bad guy here. Come on. You're supposed to be the bad guy this episode.
Oh man. Right. I mean, we could talk about the punter.
Okay. Let's do it. I mean, okay. What else about Russell Wilson? What does that mean? Yeah, three quarterbacks. What are they going to do for the third quarterback?
So that brings up Mason Rudolph, which there's still reports. There's one from Mike Florio saying that the Steelers are still interested in bringing him back. What say
Mike
you?
Mike Florio is clueless. Okay. He has no, he grew up in West Virginia, hated the Steelers as a kid. I was a big Raiders fan. And, he's been dishing dirt on them ever since. It was Cordell Stewart days when he started that crap saying the cornerbacks hate him. We had to run around asking Dwayne Washington, Chad Scott, why do you hate Cordell Stewart? Because that's what Mike Florio reported. And I think he's been wrong about every Steelers item since then. I mean, if the Steelers can get him at minimum wage, great. I don't know why he'd want to come back and be the number three. My feeling is that the Steelers tried to get him back before he hit free agency, and he wanted to check free agency, and that's so that's when they called Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Started looking around for another backup. They're not going to wait for Mason Rudolph to put them in a bidding war.
Right.
So I you know, if Florio says something, then I can write down that something is not going to happen.
Okay. So if that is the case and Rudolph doesn't return to the team, does that lend more of a possibility to the Steelers drafting a quarterback in the later rounds and him serving as the number three?
I think you can find one too, even after free agency, after people get cut in June. You know, where's Josh Dobbs? Is he in Cleveland? So they're looking at another quarterback too. So if they sign another quarterback, they cut Josh Dobbs. There's a number three. If you're, you know, if you're stuck, you could draft one late. I'd hate to see them waste a pick on a quarterback unless they're really in love with them. So,
yeah. And how do you think this impacts the rest of the draft for the Steelers? Obviously, they're not going to select a quarterback in the first round. That would just be out of left field. But how does the Wilson signing impact where they go? Do you think that it's even more credence to them selecting an offensive lineman or scratching your tackle itch, like we discussed last episode?
I mean, they need it anyway. And my point was, fix your foundation. Just because you have an older quarterback, I don't know that that changes anything. I guess it makes it more important, but I still, if Quinyon Mitchell's there, I'd take him and then start dealing in the offensive line. But yeah, offensive tackles and center. Yeah. It seemed like they were chasing centers in free agency. I don't know if they have another guy besides Mitch Morse. Morse signed elsewhere. They were after him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll have to be in, it looks like they're going to have to go through the draft for center. One last thing, we didn't spend a ton of time talking about this, but in terms of what the Steelers paid for Wilson, a very, very low number, which really this is I don't want to call it a risk-free deal, but it pretty much is.
It's as risk-free as it can get. Exactly. Especially if it's he's the starting quarterback. You went out and bought a starting quarterback for minimum wage.
Yeah.
It's hilarious what Denver has done. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe he really is a bad guy in the locker room. I don't believe it because I've talked to him extensively, a good 10, 15-minute interview. I'm going to dig that story up. I said, you know, the Steelers should look and draft this guy in the fourth round, thinking, you know, they're going to get a sixth rounder because he's not even 5'11".
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm thinking he's a sixth rounder and take a shot in the fourth. He gets drafted in the third, starts right away, and then wins the Super Bowl his second year.
Has he got big hands?
I don't know.
I wonder if, like, when he meets Kenny, the first thing they do is this, like...
I don't know, but he was a big time baseball player, and I like baseball.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Ball. It's like Kenny Pickett. I like talking baseball with Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's it is what it is, right?
Well, aren't we going to hit on the punter?
Let's talk about the punter. So, yes,
in the audience with this punter talk all day.
Cameron Johnson. So there's no more Thunderleg, no more Presley Harvin. He was cut this offseason. Cameron Johnson signed. I think I was more excited about Johnson, but this is a nice little pickup here.
Yeah, I think it is. I would like to know because the timeline says the Steelers signed him before the Texans signed the Kansas City punter. And we were all enamored with the Kansas City punter in the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And it made me think, oh, that's why they let Johnson go, because they wanted someone else. But then I looked, and Johnson signed with the Steelers before Texans signed what is his name, Tommy Thompson?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe this is a guy the Steelers targeted, and 3 years, $9 million, cheap enough. Veteran. You know, he's got all better stats than Harmon. So, yeah. We all love a good punter.
We do.
I haven't had one. I haven't had a boomer here in since who?
The who first thing came to my mind was Daniel Sepulveda, but he was inconsistent too.
He was injury prone too. Yeah. You know, you can go back to Josh Miller. He was a good punter, but he wasn't a thunder foot.
Yeah.
Craig Cole quit. No. Bobby Walden. I don't think so. Maybe they've, oh, they had a guy in the 50s. I called him for an interview one time, and his last game, he snapped his Achilles while he was punting. His Achilles snap. He still has the NCAA record for longest punt, 98 yards. He said he got it up in the, it was at Reno. He got it up in the wind. I wish I could think of this guy's name. He's one of the all-time Steeler great punters. Only was here 2-3 years, was a pro bowler, a real thunderfoot. And then he snapped his Achilles punting. And he said he thought a ref came up and kicked him.
Mm.
That's what it felt like. So anyway, and I wish I could think of that guy. I put a chapter of him in a book in 2006.
Right.
So I think they had Bobby Joe Green too, who went to the Bears in the early 60s.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my knowledge of punting.
This is the punting episode. we've been punting all episode 100. So, and Jim, just to kind of circle back to where we started, we've been doing this for 100 episodes. It's crazy. Okay.
It's 100 episodes. It's a number.
I can't believe you put up with me this long.
Soon I'm going to be 100 years old, and you know, we're going to do the same thing. It's just a number. By the time we get this out and out, the Steelers will probably have already signed a center or an inside linebacker or a wide receiver. That's my guess. And nobody will want to hear about the punters. So, you know, we're trying to get ahead of the game, but you know, unless you can get this thing out in 5 minutes, I don't know if anybody will care about episode 100.
I don't know if I'm that fast. I'm not the fast Willie Parker of podcast editing. Well, Jim, I think we covered everything quite well here for episode 100. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap up?
We'll have more next week. You know, there'll be more guys signed, more information gleaned. I'm sure the Russell Wilson press conference will happen, and then I get to talk to some people down there. No, I mean, next 101. Look for 101. That's the episode.
Yeah, we're punting on episode 100.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for checking in today and for being with us every step of the journey here to episode 100. We appreciate it. Check out Jim's work at the Still City Insider. Give him a follow on X at Jim Wexel. And we will see you back here next week for episode number 101. Jim, have a great week.
Peace, Jeremy.
Take care.